Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you all. Yeah, you can say good morning back. That's all right. Good morning. It is a privilege to see you all. Welcome to Edgewater. We are starting a new series called Financial Freedom. And believe it or not, we're going to have a blast talking about money. You guys ready to do that? All right, we're going to be talking about money. Now, I don't know what your background is, how you grew up in your family regarding money, but I want to share a couple stories about my own background. I remember my first job. A friend of mine was building a fence in our backyard, and he hired me out to help him, and he paid me in cash. And I remember that day because it was the first day I got really paid for something. And I don't know how I had it in my head, but I knew I was supposed to save some of it. So I put some away, and that was my first time. And then later on, I got a job as a bag boy in a grocery store. It was my first real job with an official paycheck that I would get every other week. And again, every other week, I'd get a paycheck, and I would spend some, but I'd put a little bit aside in savings. My dad helped me open up a bank account for savings. And so over all the years of junior high and high school, by the time I left home at age 18, I looked in that bank account, and I had $1,000 in this account. And I thought I was rich. And some of you think you are rich because I don't have any of that right now. But when I went off to college, it was wonderful. I went out to lunch, no problem. I could pay for it. I wanted to go out to a movie, no problem. I could pay for it. I wanted to go camping or on some type of event, no problem. I could pay for it. It was a wonderful year until I got to the end of that first year. And I looked at my savings account, and what was over $1,000 was now barely over $100. And I remember talking to an older buddy of mine. I said, is this how it works? What happened? I spent almost 6 years saving up, and in 1 year I depleted. Is this normal? And then I remember thinking that no one ever taught me about money. I just didn't know how money worked. I went to school. I learned math, but no one ever taught me about money. I learned how to read in school, but no one ever taught me how to read or understand a bank statement. I learned history in school, but no one ever taught me the history of the stock market. I went into life knowing very little and unprepared for my financial life. Well, years later, I got married to Becky, my wonderful wife. I love her to death, but I found out that people have different views on how to spend money. I thought everyone had my view of how to spend money, which in my mind was the right way, right? Well, she came in with a different view, and in her way, it was her right way, and we began to clash over how we spend our money. And it was very tense, those first few years of marriage, trying to figure out where does our money go and always not quite trusting what we're doing with our money. Well, at this point, I looked around, I realized that these problems are universal. They just don't belong to me. The stats are pretty horrendous. I was just reading recently that a survey was done at the end of last year, and it was asked, what is your biggest worry going into the year 2011? 40% of the people who responded said credit card debt was their biggest worry. About 70% of them said that they are living paycheck to paycheck, which means if one of their paychecks didn't come through for some reason, they would be in deep trouble. They had no reserves to make up for that. The number one reason for divorce in marriages, as you guys know, is arguments over money and money problems. So what we want to do this week and the next 4 weeks, for the next 5 weeks, is talk about Jesus' teachings about money. Because we believe that it is him and his teachings that leads to financial freedom in our lives. The sense of non-stress, the sense of hope with our money. Now, some people wonder, should a church be speaking on money? I'm so proud of you guys. You all came this morning, even though you knew we were talking about money. Some people think, oh no, we're talking about money in church. It's going to be a guilt trip. It's going to be awful. We shouldn't talk about money in church. But did you know that outside of the kingdom of God, Jesus spoke about money more than any other topic? I want you to understand this. More than prayer, more than worship, more than faith, Jesus spoke about money. And what I want to tell you, that's a big insight for us, that there is a connection between your spiritual life and your financial life. I don't want you to separate those, but those two things are connected, that it's not one thing over here and one thing over there, but they are together shaping who we are in our spiritual life with God. And so the question is, how can we not speak about finances in church? It's so important. And what we're going to do about these next five weeks is talk, yeah, we might need that much help. Talk about is how does Jesus' help lead to financial freedom in our lives? And so we're going to start off this week answering this question. How do I find financial peace. How do I find financial peace when I owe a lot of money? How do I find financial peace when my spouse and I keep arguing over money? How do I find financial peace when there's too much month at the end of the money? How do I find financial peace when I'm really struggling? So we want to address those questions, begin to shape the big picture of what Jesus teaches when it comes to money. So if you have your sermon outline and your notes there, I want you to follow along. There's a phrase that we're going to talk about, and it goes like this. A right relationship with God and a right relationship with money lead to peace in my finances. A right relationship with God and a right relationship with money lead to peace in my finances. Now, that's going to be our big idea this morning. So let's just say it out loud together. You guys ready? Here we go. A right relationship with God and a right relationship with money leads to peace in my finances. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look at the Bible, what Jesus teaches from a popular story he told in Matthew 25, 14 through 19. So you can open your Bibles if you have those with you, Matthew 25, verse 14. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to put the verses up on the screen back here. Also, we always have free Bibles at the entryway. We would love for you to grab one and take one home. We want you to have a Bible at home. Matthew 25, verse 14. I'll read out loud, but just to honor God's word, why don't we all stand as I read God's word together? Matthew 25, 14. Hear and receive the word. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. He called his servants and entrusted his property to them. So a man is going away on a journey. He has all this property. He owns a lot. He's leaving, and so he calls three of his servants and says, I want you to take care of my property. Verse 15. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. And we're thinking, how do I be that 5-talent guy? Then he went on his journey. The man who received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with him. The word of the Lord. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you that we had the privilege and opportunity to hear your word and see how it gives us hope and life in our life today. So God, as always, I pray that you would speak through me and that you would give all of us hearts that are eager to hear your word, hope that have hope in you, and are willing to be transformed by putting your word into action. Lord, thank you for this wonderful morning, the privilege of being here. And we all pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. The story that Jesus tells, there's several sets of relationships that all deal with financial peace. And so we're going to break down this thing of a right relationship with God and a right relationship with money leads to peace in my finances. And we're going to talk about the different relationships and characters in the story and how that applies to us today. So first of all, we have the king in the story, the master. And, you know, we can call him the king of bling. He has a lot of money. He has so much wealth. He owns everything. And if you notice in the story, he makes all the decisions. He calls all the shots. He's the one who decides where his wealth goes. He decides who he's going to trust with his wealth. Now, if you read the Bible, this is a common theme that it says that God owns everything. And if you're taking notes, it says God, he owns everything. Something you'll find in Scripture is that God owns it all. He has everything, and he calls the shots. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That means God is rich. He owns everything. Everything belongs to him. He's not suffering. He's not hurting. He's not in debt. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need a bailout. He doesn't need to refinance his loan. He doesn't need a loan modification. He doesn't need to work with debt consolidators to figure out what to do. He is in charge, and he owns everything. Everything is his. He's the king. He's the Lord of lords. He is in charge, and he gets to pick where his money goes. And when we begin to understand that, it changes everything about how we see money, and it's the first step of actually feeling financial peace no matter what situation you're in. And so one thing I want you guys to do after we're done this morning, you're driving home or driving out to lunch, I want you to look around and realize that everything you see belongs to God. The restaurants, the street, the trees, the birds. You drive home, your home, not your home mortgage, but everything else around that belongs to God. Everything belongs to him. He is king, he is in charge, and it's up to him to decide where he puts his wealth. And when we begin to understand that, it really changes our view on how we see money. I'm going to have a picture go up right here, and you'll see two images. One is of a fist clenching money. And a lot of us live life this way with, you know, God, this money is mine. It's all up to me. I want to hold on to it. And it's impossible to experience financial peace in this situation. The other image is an open hand, where you realize, God, everything I have actually comes from you. You're the good gift giver. You're the one who has entrusted me with wealth. I open my hand to you. And that's the first step of financial peace, is letting go and opening your hand to God, realizing he is the giver of all good things, including what you have in your wallet, in your bank account, in your purse. It all belongs to him, and he gifted it to you. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. Everything you and I have is given to you and me by God, because he is entrusting it to you. Everything. And that is the first step of understanding financial peace, is that everything we have, everything, is a gift from God that he's given to us. The early church caught this. When the early church first started, they just had this profound sense that everything they had was from God, that he had gifted them. And so look at how they lived their lives in Acts chapter 4. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. This value had so permeated who they were that the way they lived life together was with a very big open hand towards God and each other. Now, this wasn't communism or forced giving. This was a choice that God, that they made because of what God was doing in their lives. They had an open hand to God. So that's the first person in the story, is the king, the master. He is the owner of all. He is God, and he owns everything. He calls the shots. He's not in need, and he's entrusted you with his stuff. The second group of people is those who receive the money. Those who receive the money. They're the master's managers. And in the Bible, the story goes on to say that the master gave each servant his money. To one man, he gave him 5 talents of money, the other 2, and the other 1. One, the one who got 5, invests. He makes his money work for him. He invests it, and he gets 5 more talents. The one who has 2 does the same thing and gets 2 more talents back. But the one who had 1 talent, dug a hole in the ground, buried it, and kept it for his master and did nothing with it. Now, just put yourself in the master's position just for a second. Imagine this from his perspective. I imagine some of you are putting money away for retirement or for savings. Hopefully people are laughing. You know, you want to be. But let's just imagine that you were putting some money away, and you found an investor, and you said, hey, I'm going to put X amount of money into an account that you're managing every month, and I'm going to come back in a year or two to check on how my investments are doing. And so you do that for a couple years. You go to the bank, and you meet your investor, and you say, hey, how's my money doing? He says, oh, let me show you. And he takes you to his office. He sits at his desk. He opens up the top drawer, and there is all your money that you gave to him, safe and sound. He hasn't done anything with it. He just kept it there for you. Wouldn't you be slightly disappointed? Wouldn't you be thinking, wait a minute, I gave this to you to do something with it, and all you did was keep it in your desk drawer? Wouldn't you probably fire that person and try to find someone else to do a better job? So let me ask you guys a question. If you hired you to manage your money, the way you're managing your money now, would you give yourself more money to invest, or would you fire yourself? If you hired you to manage your money, the way you manage your money right now, would you give yourself more money to invest, or would you fire yourself? See, the thing is, everything is God's, and he's actually entrusting us with his money. And one day, we will be held accountable by him. He's going to check and say, what did you do with all the stuff, all the money, all the paychecks, all the stuff I gave you? What did you do with it? And our relationship with God is that of being a steward to his finances. And sometimes we think it's our kingdom, that we're the one that's supposed to call the shots, that we're the one, it's our money, and the king has no say. But ultimately, the reality is we are managing money for somebody else. And there's going to be a day where he's going to ask how we're doing. We are the stewards. God is the master, the king, the owner of everything, and we are the stewards. We are the ones who receive his money to do his work with it. This perspective needs to be in your mind if you're going to have financial peace. Let's talk about the third character in this story. The third character is the money itself. The money in the story has a very unique relationship with the master. The Bible says that the one with the five talents put his money to work for him. And I want you to catch this. He tells his money what to do. He tells his money what to do, and his money listens to him. The money is the slave in this story. The money does what the stewards, what we actually tell it to do. God gives us authority over his money, and we are the stewards of his money to tell what to do, and money is supposed to do what we tell it to do. And so there's an appropriate relationship that God has between us and money. And if you're taking notes, it goes like this. Ultimately, God is the master, we are the stewards, and money is the slave. God is the master, we are the stewards, and money is the slave. And again, this is so important, I want us to say this out loud again. Okay, you guys ready? God is the master, we are the stewards, and money is the slave. Okay, one more time, just so it goes deep. Okay, here we go. God is the master, we are the stewards, and money is the slave. This is a unique relationship that God has ordained that we are to follow if we are to experience the peace he has for us financially. Now, here's the thing. In our culture, we get this flip-flop, don't we? God ends up being the slave, and money ends up being the master. Money ends up being the boss, telling us what we can and can't do. Money ends up being defining how we live our lives. And so, obviously, we've been in the situation where we're over our head with debt. And we would love to do other things, but because of our debt, whether it be credit card or mortgage debt, we are slaves to the money, and we don't have the freedom that God wants us to have. Sometimes we don't have good budget systems, or we don't think ahead, and we end up spending more than we have, and we're borrowing, and we end up being slaves. We want to go out. We want to have them go take our spouse on a date. We want to do something fun. We want to be generous. But we can't because money has become the master, and we've become the slave. But God says this is not how it ever intended to be. It's to be reversed. Money is supposed to do what we tell it because we're stewards of God's finances. This happened with us 4.5 years ago. We moved here, and we got a home loan mortgage without thinking much about it. At that point, you didn't have to do much to qualify. You know, you go in, their question was, do you breathe? Yeah, you're approved. Okay, so we got a very large loan. We didn't understand how this stuff worked. We got some advice, and they said, sure, go for it. And we realized about 3 months into paying off our mortgage and moving into our home that we made a huge mistake. Our payment was so large, we were able to pay it every month, but everything else in our lives was absolutely tight. Hey, can we do this for the kids? I don't know. Let's go talk about it. Hey, can we go out with our friends? I don't know. Let's talk about it and see. Every single thing that involved money involved a sit-down discussion. And that got tiring and worrisome. And at points, it got tense for my wife and I. She would spend something or I would spend something without checking in with each other. We'd go, how'd you do that? How are we going to survive? And we got into the situation where money became our master. It's not how it was supposed to be. Then a couple years ago, we got tuned into a book by Dave Ramsey called The Total Money Makeover, and we began to see some of what we're talking about this morning, that this is not how it was supposed to be. This is not how God gives financial freedom and financial peace. But he taught us about these relationships from Scripture about money being our slave. So let me ask you, is your money bossing you around, or are you bossing money around? Who's the boss? Are you bossing money around, or is your money bossing you around? The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. It's as if God created us to have a part of our life that needs a master. But in that part of our life, we only have room for one thing: God, something else, or money. And what Jesus says is you cannot serve more than one master. It's either going to be God or it's going to be money. And I know a lot of us, the reason we're struggling financially is because we're trying to make both God and money masters in our lives. We're trying to have both of them as masters that we're serving to. And Jesus says that's not going to work. You can't have both. And you can't have financial peace that way. And when your perspective changes, when you begin to see how God ordained and wants you to relate to him and to money, when you begin to see the kind of relationship he wants with you and the relationship he wants you to have with money, you begin to experience this sense of financial freedom. Later in the story that Jesus tells, he goes to the person he gave the five talents to, and the man says, look, I took your five talents, I made the money work for me, it obeyed me, I got five talents more, and I'm giving it all to you. Then the king, the master, says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with the little I gave you. Now I will entrust you with much more. And then he says, come and enter your master's happiness. And I love that, because what it says is that our relationship with God isn't just a steward relationship, but it's a relationship where God wants us to enter his happiness. He is actually a loving father who loves his children and wants them to experience the joy he has being part of his family, being part of what he calls you to do as a servant. He's not just the king, but he's a loving father who wants to share his happiness with you. He doesn't just want your money. He wants your heart. I would even say he wants your heart much more than your money. That's the core of it all. Come and share your master's happiness. Well, my wife and I began to make some adjustments a little over a year ago, and we began to plan, we began to apply God's principles to our lives, and as Christmas was coming around, previously Christmas was always a bit tense for us because we always weren't on the same page about how much money to spend on Christmas gifts. We never tried to go in debt. Well, this year we planned ahead and we were able to save enough to be very, very generous with our friends and family for Christmas. And we didn't get into debt and we didn't fight. And it was just this freedom that we had never felt before. And it was just so much fun to go shopping. In the past, Becky would tell me, I'd go shopping, but I'd come home and feel guilty because I didn't know if I could have spent that much. But we just felt so good. And so we gave away and had so much fun for Christmas. And afterwards, like, God, thank you for letting us be generous. The first week of January this month, we got something in the mail from a friend of mine. And I opened it up, and it was a check made out to my wife and I. And he felt like God was putting on his heart to give us some money. And it was actually $400 more than we spent on Christmas. And I just began to think, you just can't outgive God. When you begin to live by what Jesus teaches, when you begin to live with the peace he has, you just can't outgive him. He wants to share your happiness, his happiness with you. It's about a relationship. And he is eager to give you and me a sense of financial freedom and peace in our lives, but it comes from understanding the right relationships we're to have with him and money. Now, I want to do a little confessional here. Churches often use one of two methods to spark generosity in their church. One is guilt. You'll go to church, and they will just use every verse they can think of to guilt you into giving generously and being generous with your money. And that's never any fun. you just kind of feel like, okay, I'm doing this out of obligation. It's kind of like the kid who says, hey, give me a hug. And like, I don't want you. Come on, give me a hug. I don't want to. Come on, they give you the hug. And you're like, that wasn't fun. You were forced. We're not going to use guilt. Another thing churches often use is greed. They'll say things like, if you send in money, we'll pray over it and, you know, put our magic blankets on it and you'll get fivefold back in the mail. And, you know, and that ultimately behind that is greed. You know, it really is. It's like, hey, how do you get more money? We're not talking about that. We're talking about your heart. And the motivation that God uses is not guilt, not greed, but it's gratitude. It comes from a sense of gratitude of, God, you have been so good to me. You have given me so much. I am so thankful. I want to give you not only my money, but I want to give you my life. Because behind it all is God wants your devotion more than he wants your money. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me ask you a question. If you were God, would you entrust yourself with his money? If you were God, would you entrust yourself with his money? God entrusts you with his stuff, with his possessions, and wants you to manage his money in a way that honors him. And when you do that, he blesses you and says, come and enter my happiness. Now, we are going to get more into the nitty-gritty of how to live this out in the next 4 weeks. We're going to talk some very practical ways to live out this sense of God's way of managing money. But what I want you to understand this morning is the biggest thing, that it starts with the right relationship to God and the right relationship with money. And if I can just talk about the right relationship with God right now. He loves you. He died for you on a cross so that you can have relationship with him. He went out of his way. He left the heavenly realm to get into our mess. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, in other words, while our lives were still messed up, while we were turned away from him, God, through Jesus Christ, came and says, I want to love you. He came, he ministered among us, he showed us how to live for God, he showed us how to live in a relationship with God, but ultimately he took all the mistakes, all the rebellion, all the sin, all the shame, all the guilt on the cross with him. He said that because he loves us. And then on the cross he said, Father, forgive them for they have no idea what they're doing. Financial freedom comes from a right relationship with God. And if you are here this morning and have not given your life to Jesus Christ, if you have not opened up your heart to him and said, Jesus, from this point forward, you are my master. You are my king. We sometimes talk about giving Jesus the steering wheel of your life. Today is your day. Don't wait till tonight. Do it today. We want to give you the opportunity to start this season out right with God. Realign your priorities and give your life to him. I want to ask you to make one big decision today. Open your hand to God. Open your hand to God. Again, we'll talk about the nitty-gritty in the future, but right now I need to start off with this most important thing of opening your hand to God. Amen? Let me pray for us. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we just come needing a realignment, Lord. We thank you that you have come to give us hope, to give us life. And God, we confess right now that we have not lived the relationally way that you want us to live when it comes to money. Lord, we haven't made you our master, and we've made money our master. We haven't understood the dynamics here. And God, we want to have a right relationship with you and a right relationship with money. And if you're here this morning and you're just sitting here thinking, you know what? God is right. I have misplaced priorities when it comes to money. I've made money my master, and I want to change that. I want to make God my master. If you're here just realizing that you need to make a realignment in order to have financial peace, will you just raise your hand right now so I could see you and just pray for you? If you want to, yeah, great. Hands, every more hands. Good. Thank you. Anyone else want prayer right now for that? Great. Thank you. Yeah. Let me pray for you guys right now. God, you see these hands, and you know each and every name of those people who raised their hands. Lord, will you give them power from your Holy Spirit to change them from the inside out? Help them realign towards you. Help them have you first, God. And I pray you would bless them with the financial peace and freedom you want for them. I'm going to ask one more question. There are some of you, I'm sure, here who've not yet really asked Jesus to be part of their lives yet. Maybe you've been going to church. Maybe you've gone through the rituals, but it's been just a ritual. And right now, God is saying he wants a relationship with you. He wants your heart. He wants to come into your heart and forgive your sins. And if you have not done that yet, I want to plead with you that you don't let this moment pass and just give your life to Jesus right now and say, yeah, God, I want to make you first and I need forgiveness. If that's you right now, will you please let me know and raise your hand? You want to give your life to Jesus. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else want to raise their hand and say, yeah, I want to give my life to Jesus for the first time? Great. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, we just thank you for the few here right now who are saying, we want to do that. Lord, you know them. I pray that you bless them. And this moment will be a new birthday for them where they were born again in your name. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. 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 We can give God a clap.